While the Australian and Indonesian leaders are talking up their people smuggling agreement, one Australian analyst says this is merely a second or third order issue. Hugh White is a visiting fellow at the Lowy Institute and a professor of strategic studies at the Australian National University. And he says that Kevin Rudd has so far failed to show the political courage needed to deal with the Indonesians in a mature way, and that this amounts to a failure of leadership. Hugh White was at the state lunch for Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono yesterday, where the Indonesian president was awarded an Honorary Order of Australia, and he'll be in Parliament today for the president's address. Professor White spoke to me in our Parliament House studios. Hugh White, Mr. Rudd says this visit by Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono is an indication of the strength of the relationship between the two countries. What's your view on how healthy it is right now?
Well, certainly it's not insignificant that SBY has been willing to come to Australia at a time of political problems for himself at home. But I think it's a serious overstatement to think that we've made much progress in the relationship in the last few years, or at least positive progress. What we've managed to do is to work through a number of negatives and try and minimise their impact on the relationship. But in terms of really exploiting the potential for what should be one of the most important international connections Australia has, I don't think we've gone very far.
And who's to blame for that?
Well, I think there's a bit of blame on both sides, but I think, you know, it is very striking that in the last 10 years, Indonesia has managed a remarkable transition to democracy. Having had many decades of what was in effect a military dictatorship, Indonesia has moved to a robust, rambunctious, pretty solid democratic system of politics, which has been immensely to Australia's benefit. But somehow Australians just haven't paid attention. Somehow when we look at Indonesia, we still see the Indonesia of Suharto, and that is just a massive piece of national inattention on our part. And the irony is, if you like, that Keating managed to generate a sense of excitement and potential in the relationship when it was still a dictatorship. Now that we have a democratic, a robust democratic system in Indonesia, but somehow the relationship doesn't seem to have gone anywhere. So I think we've been concentrating on a whole lot of issues, which, whilst not insignificant in themselves, are in the end second or third order issues. People smuggling is obviously a concern, but I think we in Australia way overestimate how important people smuggling is to our national interest and have allowed it to play much too high a part in the way the Indonesian relationship has developed.
Well, the Lowy Institute says dramatic gestures are needed by Australian leaders. Do you agree?
It's not so much dramatic gestures as steady, sustained and politically courageous attention from our national leaders. One of the things Australian prime ministers and other political leaders need to do is to start talking about Indonesia and its place in Australia's future in ways that go beyond the negatives, in ways that go beyond focusing on people smuggling, or for that matter, tragedies like tsunamis. Of course, the tsunami is a very important event itself in the history of Australian-Indonesian relations, but it helps us to categorise our relationship with Indonesia as one between a strong country and a weak country. And I think that mindset in Australia's approach, including our political leaders' approach to Indonesia, is rapidly becoming outdated.
Well, yesterday, Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono was awarded the Honorary Order of Australia. Today, he's addressing Parliament. The Prime Minister says this is an important milestone. How significant is this address to Parliament?
Well, look, I think it's a significant gesture on Australia's part, but I think it's a mistake to confuse those gestures with the kind of real sustained attention that Australia needs to pay itself to our approach to the relationship with Indonesia. In a sense, what's important at the moment is not what we say to Indonesians, but the conversation we have with ourselves about the kind of country we expect Indonesia to become, the kind of country we believe it to be now. When Australians think about East Timor, particularly what happened in 1999, we tend to cast ourselves in the heroic role of the liberators of East Timor. And Indonesia as a whole, the whole 240 million Indonesians, as the villains in the piece. And I think that's way too simplistic. In the end, East Timor was liberated from Indonesian rule by Indonesia, by a decision of President Habibie, as he then was. So I think for us to pat ourselves on the back and give ourselves credit for that transition fundamentally misunderstands the history. At the same time, our rather bombastic nationalistic version of those events tends to amplify suspicions in Indonesia about our approach to their country. And I think those suspicions are wrong, but I think they're understandable. When I hear Australian politicians talking about what happened in 1999, I can understand why it makes many Indonesians suspicious of Australia's motives towards them. So I think we need to get that story right, and I think we need to revisit our own history on East Timor much more carefully than we have in the past. Indonesia is growing quite quickly. Within about 10 years, it could easily have a stronger economy than Australia's. This is something Australians are going to find very hard to wake up to. We're used to Indonesia being a very big, very poor country. But as its economy grows, it's got a good chance of becoming a very big, quite rich country, richer than us in aggregate. That will change the way the relationship works. And I think Australians are still, frankly, in a rather colonialist mindset, assuming that we'll always be a richer, more powerful country than they are.
Well, there is, of course, another big political visit to Australia this month, the US president. What are Canberra and Jakarta likely to want from Barack Obama on this visit? Do they have joint or conflicting interests?
I think we have very deeply convergent interests with Indonesia on what might well be the most important issue in the future of both countries over the next few decades, and that is how our countries fare as Asia changes. As China's power grows, that changes the whole way Asia works. And I think one of the most important conversations that either SBY or Kevin Rudd or both of them together could have is for them to share how we can best speak to America about its future role in Asia. And the fact that Barack Obama is visiting both Jakarta and Canberra later this month does actually provide quite a strategic and diplomatic opportunity. My fear is that instead of addressing those really deep long-term issues that are essential to both countries, the leaders will spend most of their time talking about things like people smuggling, which, though a significant issue, is in the end a third-order question.
You seem to be suggesting that Kevin Rudd doesn't have the sort of political courage that you've been talking about as necessary.
I think he potentially has it, but I don't think he's displayed it yet on this question. I think he and other political leaders in Australia are reluctant to talk frankly to Australians about what an important country Indonesia is. It's easier to stick to the script about people smuggling, about terrorism, about tsunamis and aid and all the rest of it, rather than really beginning the conversation with Australians about the kind of country Indonesia has become. And I think that is a failure of political leadership.
Hugh White, thanks very much for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
And Hugh White is a visiting fellow at the Lowy Institute and a professor of strategic studies at the Australian National University. He was speaking to me there from our Parliament House studios.